Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum botulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by name. To see for yourself and learn more, visit BotoxCosmetic.com. That's BotoxCosmetic.com.
Want to be more active this winter? Sierra helps you save on everything from skis to snow boots, sleds to scarves. And if you still don't want to go outside, you can always move somewhere warmer. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
I could do Labor Day weekend for you.
Oh, that's the worst time to be there.
All these slob idiots are up there.
Hey! Put an entire tracks, go up the hills! Vroom, vroom! Put an entire tracks! Vroom, vroom! Gog, gog, gog!
So they'll see those and be like, excuse you? The corpse drinking?
I've never seen, in my 42 years, I've never seen a corpse drinking.
Well, I am offended.
That is something that people say about you. Oh, Kyle, yeah, he takes things in stride.
I just wanted to make sure, you know, I didn't need to have a kind, calm conversation with you regarding your paying job stealing from your non-paying job. Which, I mean, if you think about it, wealthy stealing from the poor, but who am I?
It's only been a week, but boy, did I forget how much I enjoy Bobcat voice.
I can't believe it took us. Well, in fairness, it didn't take us 225 episodes to figure out, because as everybody knows who's been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, we already know that Steve has nailed James Earl Brown from...
James Earl Jones,
sorry. From Field of Dreams.
Hold on.
Voice. Oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah.
Ray. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
It's like you're there. It's like you're sitting in the field from the 1987 feature film Field of Dreams, and you're sitting next to Feathered Hair, Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, yep.
So, it didn't take us that long to realize it, but I think we really nailed it last week that we apparently can do some voices.
We've got
Sand Hill Hillbillies.
Right.
And then we had... uppity offended people.
Never in my life have I heard.
Excuse me?
Have I heard such a thing?
So maybe what I'm saying is we just start treating this thing like Jeff Dunham.
Oh, yeah, we get a puppet.
Yeah. It's perfect for the audio medium.
Yeah.
And we just start doing voices all the time.
Yeah. So I'll have a puppet on my shoulder, making wacky puppet sayings.
He needs to be,
and I'll do it like while I'm drinking water, so everyone thinks that the puppet's really talking.
We need to be borderline racially insensitive, though.
Yeah, definitely,
because that's what really brings the ventriloquist act home.
All right, that's one for the poll right there. is the foundation of any good ventriloquist act
borderline racism?
Borderline racism. Yep. I mean, hard to argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Absolutely. But no, you're right. Some of these characters or caricatures that we create over the tens and hundreds of episodes of this that we've done end up really taking hold. And I don't know why, but I almost want... I need a physical incarnation of the uppity guy now. Like, I want to see... the uppity guy. I want to see what we voiced as the Sand Hill Billies.
Well, uppity guy definitely is wearing a turtleneck.
And a monocle.
Yeah, and a sport coat over the turtleneck.
I might overuse the monocle in my character idea.
No such thing.
When do you think, not ironically, the last person was to utilize on a daily basis, right? Because they need it to look at something close, a monocle.
The 1930s or 40s. Because maybe that's another one for the poll. What was the heyday of the monocle?
Yeah. We have to give them a couple options.
Yeah, I think 30s or 40s, sometime in there.
Sorry, I'm still posting is the benchmark of any good ventriloquist act.
Borderline racism.
Because I think most people would associate the monocle, especially today, with Monopoly Man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. JP Moneybags.
I was going to say, does he have a name?
I think it's JP Moneybags. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Because
JP Moneybags.
Wasn't there a, or did the...
Rich Uncle Pennybags?
Rich Uncle Pennybags?
Yeah, that's the mascot of the game Monopoly. I don't know what I'm thinking with JP Moneybags.
Well, you were close-ish.
Yeah. Moneybags, I mean, bags. No, not really. The only thing we got right was bags.
Uncle Rich?
That was Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Rich Uncle Pennybags. So, like, when my nephews come up to me and say, hey, Uncle Kyle, in this instance, Pennybags' nephews and nieces would come up and say, hi, Rich Uncle?
Hi, Rich Uncle Pennybags. I think if you go by Rich Uncle Pennybags, people, even your closest relatives, are instructed from a young age, you do not call him Rich. You call him Rich Uncle Pennybags every time.
Because that
wouldn't
be Uncle Rich Moneybags.
Why wouldn't it be Uncle Rich Pennybags, not Rich Uncle Pennybags? Rich is the descriptor. Rich is not the name. Like, it's not for Richard.
So, but is his first name Pennybags? Or is it the last name Pennybags? And why does Uncle need an adjective?
I don't know.
Is that Parker Brothers? To hell with all of them. Because I think the monocle is associated with him. Apparently named Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so I wasn't completely crazy in calling him JP Moneybags.
Mm-hmm.
He is depicted as a portly old man with a mustache who wears a morning suit. A morning suit?
Boy, you don't want to be called portly ever.
With a bow tie and a top hat. Blah, 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 blah. It said something about JP Morgan.
What is... Is it the... Is it the Planter's Peanut? Is it Mr. Peanut has a monocle as well?
I don't think he does. I think that that's one of the examples of...
No, he does. I'm looking at it right now.
He does?
Yeah, he's got a monocle and a top hat. Boy, Parker Brothers might have a lawsuit on their hand.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's got a cane. He's got a top hat and a monocle.
Maybe Pennybags doesn't have a monocle. Maybe that's...
Hang on.
Oh,
hang on. Hold up. Has everybody been wrong?
Hold up. He does not.
Kidding me?
That is one of the examples of the Mandela effect, which is when people swear that they remember things in a certain way, even though it was never like that. Like the whole thing with how people insist that Sinbad was in a movie called like Kazam or Shazam or something back in the 90s, but it never existed. It's just something that people have invented over time. Rich Uncle Pennybags. No monocle.
Wow.
No monocle.
So it is really just Mr. Peanut and I... Huh. I had really combined somehow Mr. Peanut...
I think everybody has.
And the Monopoly Man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be on the poll, too. Did you think that the Monopoly Man had a monocle?
Yeah.
Because that is an upset.
By the way, it is Sunday, August 16th. 2020, the year of our Lord, the Stephen Kyle podcast, episode number 200. And boy, are we off to a fiery start.
Well, listen, Steve, we've got to get to the bottom of the important issues today. And if what you're saying is the 1940s board game Monopoly spokesperson / cartoon mascot isn't important, you're going to need to take a look back at what we've done in this podcast for years.
Yeah.
Because... You're wrong.
This is how it goes. It's exactly how it goes.
How rich is the Monopoly Man?
But I didn't know that a fictional character.
Well, Steve, we're about to dive down this rabbit hole because
I mean, hold on, let me put my swim cap on, and because I'm ready, got my goggles on, I'm ready for a deep dive,
and
deep dive.
Yeah, and we're one of those. It's either an adventure movie or something where we're throwing like that glow stick or the flare,
We're
throwing it down the open. What are they? Is that base diving?
Base jumping.
Base jumping.
Yeah.
Base jumping. We're about to base jump in to who is the richest fictional character.
You'd never go base jumping, right?
No, I don't think there's enough money in the world. Okay.
That question did not need to be asked.
Number four. Okay, well, first of all, they don't have exact amounts for a lot of these. Gordon Gekko. Is that Falling Away, right? Or what is that movie?
No, Gordon Gekko, Wall Street.
Wall Street. What am I thinking of? The other...
You're thinking of the Geico Gecko?
That's it.
Very rich man. I mean, he's got a lot of money.
Gordon Gekko, number 14. They just jump around a few. Monty Burns. Would have expected him to be be higher. Number 12.
What's he got? How much?
It doesn't say.
What the...
Like, they're giving me this list. Hang on. Let me see if I can get right... You know what? I can get right to the Forbes list. We can stop this middleman nonsense. Well, you're not going to believe this, Steve. But over the course of 9 years, Forbes has deleted their list from 2011. But we do have some numbers here for the top. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Forbes has assessed that the highly distinguished members of its 2011 list have an average net worth of $9.86 billion each.
Whoa, boy.
Up 20% from the year prior. So things were good in fiction land from 2010 to 2011. They're said to be worth totally $131.5 billion, which, as Forbes points out, is more than the gross domestic product of New Zealand.
Mm, that's interesting.
Number four is Richie Rich.
Well, I mean, he did have a swimming pool just filled with money.
Yeah. I feel like he's probably undervalued on this list.
With a name like Richie Rich, if you're not the richest, kind of a loser.
The runner-up, this is going to be a bummer, Twilight's Carlisle Cullen?
Oh, of course. Kari Carr, as they call him.
They may...
Kari Cull.
Carkle.
Carkle. It's like Urkel.
Should be noted that due to his being 370 years old.
Oh, that's a bit of a disadvantage, or a bit of an advantage for him.
The decision to invest a tiny amount of capital in 1670... and letting the interest accrue has paid off.
Yeah, okay. Kari Cole.
And Steve, in first place, you have a first place guess.
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on. Fictional character. It's when you think money, fictional character,
I know.
This is the one that you would think of, Steve.
Well, Batman was loaded. He had that whole...
That's true. No, that is true. And I don't even see Batman
Butler
on this shoddy list that I'm reading off of that's 9 years old. Number one, though, Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, yeah.
Said, in light of the price of gold rising more than 30% from year to year, Forbes reckons his net worth $44.1
billion. Billion with a B, folks. Billion with a B.
This list putting the Monopoly Man at number nine. Mr. Monopoly, they're calling him on this list, which, as we now know, is not true and insulting.
No.
It is... Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's about all we have time for today.
Well, thanks everybody for joining.
for this deep dive.
I feel like we should just do mini-sodes on whatever we talk about for the first 8 minutes. It's gone from Sonny Bono to Rick Allen. We're now talking Rich Uncle Pennybags and Mr. Peanut. Mm-hmm. Maybe next week, if we're on this type of roll, we can talk about the California Raisins and whatever happened with them.
Oh, yeah, what did ever happen? They heard it through the grapevine.
Who would have broken up the California Raisins? Wasn't there one, like, big diva? Was there one female in the California Raisins?
Well, let's find out instantly. California...
You know what? I'm sorry, everybody. This isn't what you come here for.
The California Raisins.
I don't know what you come here for, to be very frank with you.
We're a fictional rhythm and blues animated musical group, as well as advertising and merchandising characters consisting, composed of anthropomorphized, anthropomorphized.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anthropomorphic is a word, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Okay, lead vocals, of course. I mean, I don't have to tell you.
The Prune.
What was his name?
They had names?
They did.
Really? Was this like the Chicken McNugget characters that McDonald's had? Did those have names back in the 80s?
Sure.
I don't have a clue.
Buddy Miles. Buddy Miles, of course. Raisins were popular in the mid to late 80s through claymation TV commercials and animated specials, winning an Emmy Award and one nomination. Wait, what did I come here for? What did we want to know?
Who broke him up?
Let's see.
I said, wasn't...
Decline, okay.
Okay, hey, I knew there was a reason those idiots broke up. Who yoko'd them?
Although popular with the public, the California Raisins campaign was eventually failed because its production cost of the raisin growers...
Hang on. What?
Hold on.
Production...
The California Raisin campaign eventually failed because its production cost the raisin growers almost twice their earnings.
So raisin growers were funding this stupid thing? You can't be serious.
CalRab, the organization who made the campaign, was also closed on July 31st, 1994 due to disagreements with raisin producers over the fairness of required payments to the organization.
Well, listen, if you're telling me you need to give me 50% of your profits so these idiot digital raisins can sing on TV, I'm going to tell you where to stick it. It should be noted that this Wikipedia page advertises their religion as raisin.
Well, that it does. Look at that.
Just in case anybody was worried that there might be some anti-Christian sentiment with the California Raisins, and maybe that got in the way.
Did you know their nickname was the Vineyees?
So did they didn't have individual names?
Just Buddy Miles is the only one listed.
Okay, so Buddy Miles is the one who broke them up, because everybody else is Buddy Miles and the Raisins?
Apparently.
Heard of him? Oh, boy. This is something I'm surprised hasn't come back with. Like, this decade has felt like nothing short of just straight nostalgia desire.
Yeah.
Like, you see clothing, you see all of these, you know, like, Steve, I'm going to list my Nintendo 64 on eBay.
Oh, are they hot now?
It's hundreds of dollars.
Really?
It's just sat in my basement.
When was the last
basement.
Time you played it? Like, maybe, 10 years ago?
Maybe ironically 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Thinking this would be fun, and then you realize it's not. Well, I'm sure it is, but when you haven't played something for, at that point, it would probably have been another 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that controller's a monstrosity. You're trying to figure out anything, and I've been in cleaning mode, right?
Yeah, you were telling me before you spent the last couple days, like, organizing, and you've joined the brotherhood of giving stuff away on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, my God. Thank you to everybody who came to my house and took my garbage. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I don't know what you're going to do with this random box of wood flooring that will only look good if you have the same color of wood flooring.
How many square feet do you think you had? Like, would there be enough to do a small
closet? I'm guessing they were 4 inches or 3 inches by 12 inches.
Okay. Maybe enough to do, like, a small, like, a laundry room?
Maybe.
Okay.
So I had listed all of this garbage. The wood flooring, the... I'm trying to think of... Oh, I had a bunch of metal. I don't even know what it was. Like, metal corner pieces. I have no idea what they were there for. It had just been sitting in my base since we moved in. Underneath all the shelving. Yep. And I just left it there. I piled crap on it that I, you know... I thought, I better shave this.
I'm going to need this.
Why?
One day I'm going to figure out what this is and realize I need it.
Like, we are years away from moving. Not like 15 years or 20 years, but still, years away from moving.
Mm.
And in the back of my mind, I'm already having these thoughts about, what the heck am I going to do with this box or this, it's like a glass shelf that someone gave me and I never put up.
Yeah.
Years ago.
When boom.
Donate it. Donate it or give it away.
When neighbor Joe moved away, him and his wife, it was the longest move I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, feel like they started taking truckloads away back in the fall. And they finally took the last load of garbage out of there the day that they closed. And I remember talking to... I was talking to his wife one day. Like, we were taking the dog for a walk or something. And so his wife was out in the driveway. And she just looked at us and she shook her head and she said, don't save anything. Don't save anything.
Well, I think it's pertinent for you, not especially, but when you inevitably move in the next 6 months to 1 year,
yeah,
you need to leave gifts behind, like your previous, the previous tenants here or owners who left you the garbage bags of elementary school report like cards and schoolwork that they didn't want and acknowledged they didn't want, so they hid it in the attic.
In the attic, yeah. And I had her phone number because something, I forget what it was, at closing, there was something where she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to leave. Maybe it was like a spare key or something. So she said, what's your number? I'll call you or I'll text you and I can drop it off at the house in the next 2 days or something. So I had her number for a while. So for the first month that we lived here, I sent her a text maybe once or twice saying, hey, I just found this. And there was one thing that she was like, oh, I totally forgot that. I'll stop by and pick it up. And I left it on the porch, whatever it was. But then the text that went unanswered was the one that said, hey, I found 4 full garbage bags of old book reports and like art class projects. Just unanswered.
She definitely
saw it.
Yeah.
Because it was...
showed red.
Yeah, I remember it showing red, and then there was maybe the little bubbles popped up for a second or two, and then they disappeared. No text was ever sent.
She probably didn't anticipate you finding them that quick. She was maybe hoping... She was hoping for like a calendar year to go by, so that way, you know, you wouldn't feel like you could text her, because she wouldn't remember. She didn't have my number. Whatever, I'll do it. So when you... really surprised her. She didn't know what to do, and I'm sure her number has now changed.
Because definitely.
I can't ever deal with that again.
Yeah, if I were to call her, you'd actually hear someone pick up, and then they'd try to say, this number has been disconnected. The MCI number you have dialed.
But that wasn't all they left you either. As we talked about a while with... Man. Toby.
So much stuff. Because
like
the back
crap under the deck.
Yeah, the back half of our backyard is, it's all trees. It's trees and like that, like ivy or some kind, like the ground covering. So I don't cut the grass back there because it's all ground covering.
Oh, you just don't have the time. The Steve Manor.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd have to hire a team of, what, 50?
Yep.
50 landscapers?
Oh, yeah, my God. Just for, you know, bush trimming, all of that, all of the fancy stuff, you know, because obviously you have your bushes trimmed into seasonal shape.
Sure, yeah.
So around the 4th of July, you've got an Uncle Sam.
Yep, come the Halloween, the one is like Chewbacca, and one is...
Oh, no, come around Halloween, you've got the a mask, oh, a bat,
and things that go bump things in the night.
Yeah, I don't know how they... Listen.
It just says bump.
Credit to your bush trimmers.
My horticulturists. But does a bush trimmer have an actual name? There's got to be
So they probably... this is probably one of those situations where they prefer to go by something else. Because same thing as being called, hey, garbage man.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a sanitation specialist.
Or janitor, you're not customer service, but they all prefer different names. Yeah. Like, even my job, when I was at a different... at one of my older jobs, my job was to... like reset coolers. Mm-hmm. So put them in order, fix broken stuff.
Yeah.
And we would just call ourselves Reset. Okay. And my boss, who apparently thought that was talking down to us, actually made us change our email signatures to say Retail Space Representative.
Oh, look at you. I'm sure you got a bump with that nice
Oh, huge pay raise. So your question, Steve, is what is a bush trimmer's title?
Yeah.
Hedge trimmer. It does not say it. There's just giving me a lot of listings for hedge trimmers.
Because I'm sure that there is a fancy name for it, like in the competitive bush trimming industry.
Here we go. What is a hedge trimmer person called? I thought it'd get me the answers I need.
Let me guess. A hedge trimmer?
Hedge cutter. May refer to a person cutting a hedge, a tool or machine.
Okay.
There might not be. Could we call them landscape specialists?
No, because I think it has to be specific towards just bushes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's only one way to really figure that out, and I have to put it on the poll, I guess. Do bush trimmers have a name or have a title? Yeah,
but they have to be like decorative bush trimmers.
Yeah, dude, decorative. Yeah.
Competitive decorative bush trimmers.
Where are we at on the same idea, though, for like ice? You know, if you have a big event and you want a fancy ice sculpture, are those just all ice sculptures?
I bet there's a lot of crossover between the two. Like, I bet that there are people who...
Oh, it's seasonal work, Steve.
Sure.
It's seasonal work. Once those bushes don't need trimming anymore, you know, come November.
It's a tight season, though. You go from bush trimming, although I guess you can do ice trimming in the summer too.
Yeah, for weddings.
Yeah.
You probably have to.
Oh, boy.
So summer's their busy season.
Okay.
And in the winter, they're hoping for the ice sculpting.
Yeah, before this, we talked about...
Yeah, where are we at?
Oh,
yeah.
You're deep cleaning.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But we digress.
So I've been doing this whole purge thing because I'm thinking, oh, my... Like, when I move...
You're moving. Do you know how, you're moving already?
Yeah.
Man, you are really... just flaunting your wealth during this pandemic.
3 to 5 years.
Three
to five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same area? You staying in the same town?
Oh, far away from here as possible.
Okay. It's going to be a long drive to record this.
Nah, Skype every week. Same.
It worked so well.
Same type of mojo. Everything will work. I'm already thinking, like, why do I need this empty box that the KitchenAid mixer came in 3 years ago?
You don't need it.
I understand saving it for a little bit, right? If you fire it up and for whatever reason the mixing bowl just disintegrates into shards.
Yeah.
Okay. But why I still had a vacuum cleaner box for a vacuum cleaner that we just replaced with a new vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're saving them because you put other stuff in that box.
Right.
But if you're just saving the empty box... And I used to do that all the time, too. I'd save everything. Now I save a box or two from time to time if I, you know, I'm going to ship something out or
sure.
I just want to consolidate stuff. But, yeah, it's very freeing when you get rid of all that crap.
Yeah, and watching the dumb schlobs who come pick this stuff up makes me wonder, like, what are you doing with this garbage?
Did you see my latest giveaway? I posted it on our social media, at Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of want an update, because of the garbage. Okay? I would still place this, though, below the rotted wood with nails that was mandatory in order to get... the $6 cement bird bath base.
Just base, remember.
No bath included.
No.
Just
it was the pedestal.
$6 base from your big box hardware store. And again, for that you had to take, how big was it, do you think? 8x8?
It was...
2 4x8 sheets?
It was 2 4x8 sheets of rotted...
like
plywood.
Yeah, and that was the deal.
With rusty nails sticking out of it, because it was the it was the base. It was what the previous owners thought would be a good base for the old shed, which, by the way, gave away that too, but it was 2 inches too big to fit through the gate, so the guy literally had to cut the shed in half.
Oh my! I think I remember that, because I remember the story of
you
staring at him out the window while he did it.
He started at like 3 in the afternoon, and it was 9 o'clock at night. It was dark out, and I looked out, and I still saw his little headlamp moving around our backyard.
I would be so self-conscious about someone just roaming around my house for 6 hours cutting a shed in half.
I didn't care, though. I didn't care, because the shed is gone. And I'm happy.
But, Steve, this giveaway is top tier.
Yeah.
It's absolute top tier in terms of your crap that you've given away. So you posted this on our social media. It's at Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week, you are giving away.
Look at that.
How much? Like, if you had to estimate footage, like lengthwise,
mm-hmm.
total, 30 feet?
Oh, no, it was 50 or 60.
Really?
Because,
did it all come out as one?
No, no, it was.
Those pieces.
Yeah, it was probably. It seems like they came in 16-foot sections or so because I replaced it with new stuff, and I know that I put in four new ones
okay.
that were 16 feet long. So it. And it was it overlapped a little
right.
bit. So yeah, it was right around 60 feet.
But what you gave away, it's the starter edging on every home. Every single home,
yeah,
I would argue.
Black plastic.
Yeah, plastic or not rubber, it is plastic. But that black plastic, it's got like a curled top.
Yep.
That you sink a couple inches into the ground.
Yeah, you put it around the base of a tree or your
and I don't want
your
it to
garden
come off,
or something.
Yeah. I don't want it to come off negatively. That's not what I mean by saying, oh, it's the starter. A lot of houses have
it. Every house has it. You go to any house in the world and they have it.
Yeah, we just got rid of ours this spring. Difference being, I cut a check for mine.
Yeah.
Because I was not going to do mine.
Well, ours was in rough shape. In some spots, it had sunk down so far in the ground that you couldn't even see it. So it wasn't doing any work holding back the mulch. So I was like, all right, got to get rid of this. And then in other spots, I had like hit it with the lawnmower. So the top inch or so was just sheared off.
Yeah. And then if it's not even, you can get some growth over the top. Like that's what happened to ours. Some of ours had been buried by whether it be runoff, like water or erosion or whatever. And so half of like grass started to overgrow. It looked terrible. But as with anything lawn and landscaping related, if you do the work to upkeep it, it can be fine.
Sure.
And not run the lawnmower over it, etc. So you had posted this on Marketplace when?
On, let's see, the 11th. So that was like Tuesday probably.
Okay. And afternoon after you get out of work or evening?
Yeah. I came home on Tuesday. I ripped a bunch of it out. I was going along doing one section at a time, ripping out 16 feet of it, putting in 16 feet of it, ripping out another 16, putting in another 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was posted probably by 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
How long did it take? Well, I don't even know. Is this something that you still have?
No, God, no.
Oh, my.
No.
Another indictment.
And I did not have to cut it up and put it in the garbage like Richard K. Reed suggested on Facebook.
Yeah, Dick Reed. Keep your ideas to yourself. You're talking to a giveaway master.
You are talking to the godfather of the Facebook giveaway. I think that's a fair title for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. So I legitimately can't believe this. How long did it take you then to give this away?
Well, it was... The person messaged me almost immediately, but they couldn't come out and pick it up that day. It was gone the next afternoon, though. So it was less than 24 hours, probably 20 hours. It was gone.
Now, did this person show up in a 1992 Buick Regal loaded with, you know, baskets of other garbage in the back, maybe some masonry bricks?
You know what the best part about this is? I don't know.
You didn't see
him? I said, it's on the side of the house. Don't knock.
At least you're very cordial about it.
No, I always word it a little bit nicer. I just say, no need to knock. I'm putting the baby down for a nap or something.
Every single time I have given the address to my house, I have said, I'll be putting my son down for a nap.
Yeah.
Just grab and go.
Yeah.
And that's what I say. And I'm taking a chance because I've sold some stuff for money. Like I've sold an Amazon Fire Stick for like $40. And I said, hey, put the money in the mailbox. Because that's how little I want to interact with anybody from there.
Inevitably, if it's like with something that's free, doesn't matter. Because what are they going to say? Like, oh, it's kind of broken. Well, it's free. So, but like in the case of your Amazon Fire Stick, you know that it's going to be somebody and they're going to pick it up and be like, well, I don't know. It looks like it's got a scratch here. How do I know it works right?
Yeah.
And then they want to like come in your house and plug it in or something.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with that. This isn't a Best Buy display room. This isn't like the Best Buy area. And maybe you remember, maybe this is in your age range, Steve. where they'd have the car audio section.
Yes.
And you could go in that little glass or like audio, not glass, that would make no sense. Circuit City had like a, it felt like a cigar room because yeah, like it was padded.
Yeah, you walk in and there's like, there's fake speakers like at that form the entrance that yep. you walk in, and there's like, you know, extreme looking writing that says like bass zone or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But then you'd go in there and they'd have all of their car CD players because everybody needed an aftermarket CD player.
Yeah,
and they have all of the subwoofers.
Yep. So you could go and you push the little button underneath the head unit you want to test, and then you push the button under the tweeters that you want to test,
and then you just crank the volume because you were so much cooler than everybody else. So you needed to blast it as loud as it could go.
Mm-hmm.
They sold so little out of those departments that Circuit City went out of business.
Circuit City's gone.
And I don't even think that area exists at Best Buy anymore. Like, the car audio exists, still, but I don't think there's, like, a separated room.
Yeah, probably not. It's usually just, like, the back corner of the store. I think we've talked about this before, though, how when you got that first car, like, your first ride, in your case, it was the Cavalier.
Yep. 99 Cavalier with the bra on the front.
Of course. How did I forget about the bra on the front?
Gotta cover that rust, Steve.
I still remember it was, I got my driver's license. It would have been on my birthday in 1998. And the first thing that I did, like the next day, so my birthday, May 28th, 1998, got my driver's license. May 29th, 1998, I had an appointment booked at Circuit City or at Best Buy to get my head unit and my 6x9 speakers put in my car.
Yeah, it's one of the first things you have to do when you're in your teenage years, because that's the only way you're going to get the chicks, is when they sit next to you, their back bounces off of the seat because you're hitting the... And nobody thought at 16, 17 that they needed that stupid... insulation or tape that you'd put on your trunk.
Yeah.
So while
Dynamat.
So as cool as you thought you were, every stoplight I'd pull up to in my 99 Cavalier with a bra on the front, all people to the right of me heard was But then if they listened close enough, it was my trunk begging just, to be released from rattling. Its prison.
Yeah. Yeah, just metal on metal.
It's just a real stunner. I didn't have so many girlfriends.
Yeah, I was horrendously single at that time. Would be for at least another year, maybe two. I don't remember.
Someone finally heard those car speakers and was like, "That's the guy for me."
Yeah, I mean, that's... shockingly, when I rolled up in my '86 Pontiac 6000.
Whoa! What color was that, Steve?
Oh, it was like maroon. And then it was the color that every, like, Grand Prix or Grand Am was.
My God, that is the most 80s car I've ever seen. That's the car you'd see in every single 80s movie lining the streets.
Yeah. Oh, accurate.
It's kind of crazy to me to look at a
picture of the dash just so you can see what the future looked like in 1986.
It's kind of incredible. Because if you look at an 86 this Pontiac 6000, and if you look at anything from 1991 and on, it's night and day. It's like car manufacturers decided, hey, this thing looks like crap. Yeah.
Hold on, I found a picture. Give me a second. I'll pull it up on the Jumbotron so you can see it.
Don't forget, we will get back to just a minor side note here. We will get back to Steve's Facebook giveaway.
So,
whoa!
I mean, no shortage of buttons here.
Listen, airplane pilots today have less to worry about than what I'm looking at on that Jumbotron. Did you even know what they were all for,
dude? This was the Pontiac 6000 STE. STE stood for Special Touring Edition, obviously. So it had a digital dashboard that basically made it look like Kit from Knight Rider. But everything, like, this was your RPMs here. There was the speedometer was just digital numbers. Like, not a...
Hey, that's early for that, man.
Not a sweep. Yeah, but look at this radio here.
I wouldn't even know how to find the station.
It had probably 25 buttons on it, but that was like back in the day when it had, you know how you can adjust the fade and the balance, you know, you can fade from front to back.
Yeah, and when
you
did the subwoofers, you'd always want to fade it to the back.
Yeah. Well, this thing had actual little faders on it that you
would... Oh, so you were adjusting it.
Yeah.
Almost like an audio mixer.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Just like this. But yeah, so I had this thing, this old relic was removed, and then I had a CD player from the company Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Are they still around?
AIWA. I can't imagine.
I feel like they are, because I think, like, I think you could still buy, like, even appliances or something from them, can't you?
Let's see.
Of course it brings up Best Buy.
Yeah. Okay, so you can still buy, like, boom boxes.
Yeah, which one of those hasn't sold in 24 years.
No. Nope.
Hey, there's one from Crestfield. Boy.
These were way, way nicer than the one I had.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. The old Crutchfield magazine that
I still I've ordered stuff within the last 2 years from Crutchfield.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the head unit that I have in the Jeep, I ordered from Crutchfield.
I would have put that in the same catalog as East Bay.
East Bay.
You know?
Oh, my God. I remember East Bay. All I wanted was the pair of Airwalks that were tennis balls. Like, the material was tennis balls.
I just wanted moon shoes.
Hold on. Tennis balls.
So, while you look that up, Steve, how much... Oh, my God. Oh, hey.
You can still get them.
Hey, those are kind of nice. Oh, you can get out of here at that price point.
$65? That's not bad.
I'd have given you $25. I need to do a $65 pair of tennis ball shoes.
All right. Let's see. We got to find out if East Bay is still in
there. Oh, it is. I still get that magazine about once every year or two. Like, I'm definitely not, like, on their list because it's so infrequent that I get an East Bay, but like once every 2 years.
Next time it shows up, you got to order me a pair of JNCOs.
I'll take a look. Maybe I can get you some FUBUs. What is the age difference, Steve, between you and Mike?
My brother Mike.
Yeah.
He's like two and he's like 3 years older than me.
So was the '86 Pontiac 6000 a hand me down?
Not from him, no.
Okay, so no. It wasn't like your parents bought the 6000 for Mike.
Nope.
And then when you inherited the 6000, he got a new car.
No. He had his was. It was like an 80, maybe 86 or 87.
Shoot him a text. What was his first car? Actually, I have my phone up. I can find that out.
Yeah,
too.
I know that it was.
I'm curious what the Steve family auto lineage looks like for some reason.
I know that it was a Pontiac Sunbird, but I don't know what. I want to say 88 or 87.
And is this something, because not everybody's like you, where they know they should know their first car. But is Mike the kind of guy who, like, every year, every 2 years, he's upgrading? Is he always getting
new?
Okay, so he's hanging on to a car.
Yep.
All right. Recording now. What was make, model, color of your first car?
Yeah, because I can picture it. I know that it was a Pontiac Sunbird. It was red. And I want to say it was, like, between 86, 87, 88, somewhere in there.
How did he get that chick wagon? And you got that 6000. Now, it wasn't the convertible, right?
No, but it looked identical to the 6000. It was maybe a foot and a half shorter.
It looks like the exact same gallery on Google. That's what I just... Boy, hard to see why Pontiac went out of business. Yeah. I feel like I could search for any 80s Pontiac car, and
here's a much better picture of... This was the exact...
My God,
the
man.
Exact dash of my first car.
Well, look at the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the heck is going on with that?
See, this one was one of those... Like, since it was the STE, which was the top of the line, this thing had steering wheel controls for the radio. But nowadays... If you upgrade a radio, you can get a converter that will make your factory controls on your radio still work.
Oh, really?
But back then, I remember being so disappointed when I picked it up from Best Buy that I went back into the like road zone or whatever they call it and saying, like, hey, man, the volume button on my steering wheel doesn't work anymore. And the guy's like, yeah, that's because you change the radio. Like, that technology was still 15 years away.
Yeah, you had just assumed that we had jumped light years ahead and been able to fix that.
Yep. But look at that thing, man.
That thing is an airplane. Like, you wouldn't even be able to have it, like, taking a chick out for a date. Like, sorry, I can't have a conversation. I've got 18 faders to worry about, and I have to do this five-switch combination to turn the headlights on.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
Of what we can see, there are 24 buttons on the radio. And I know that this is the first fader. There are still at least three more after it.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you, was this a, did you drive her to the wheels fall off on her?
I drove it for just less than a year, and then I ran into somebody on my way to school one day.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
proper end for the Pontiac brand.
Yeah. It was funny. I rear-ended somebody, they hit somebody else, and then they hit somebody else, and when we all got out of our cars, they were all people that were in my class, like in my homeroom.
Oh.
So I remember being very disappointed that I had caused that accident. So I was like, so you guys want to go out for breakfast? And I took everyone out for breakfast, and we all showed up to school late.
Now, was Pontiac and Plymouth were the same? Were they the same?
I don't know. Pontiac was under GM.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, no, it wouldn't have been the same.
Because
Plymouth would have been under, like, Chrysler at the time, I guess.
You're probably right. Because I could give you 1 million guesses as to my favorite car ever.
Hmm.
And I'll say this. The favorite car ever, I decided when I was probably 13 or 14.
Okay, so 13 or 14, what year would that have been?
2000 and 2001. And I think I haven't changed it simply because I don't care.
Okay. So I think I have an idea then. I think you may have had a tell by saying Plymouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was definitely leading.
Was it the Plymouth Prowler?
Steve, my favorite car ever. A car that I want before I die.
The Prowler.
Is the 1999 Plymouth Prowler.
Oh my god, that thing's horrendous.
Are you kidding me? I stand by it. This thing looks great.
This is such a midlife crisis dad mobile.
But I wanted it when I was 14.
I mean, acceptable when you're 14, but still holding on to it when you're, what, 30?
But look
30?
At this thing in the burnt orange.
Oh,
God, that thing is gorgeous. I stand by it. I'm actually going to look at where I can get one right now.
Man, and from what I remember, it had a ridiculously underpowered four-cylinder. It would go like 60 miles per hour, and that's it.
Quick update. Brother Mike had a 1986 red Pontiac Sunbird, like you anticipated, Steve.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure of the year.
But listen, even 253 horse... So I think the upgraded version maybe had a V6, Steve. Had a 3.5 liter V6, 250 horsepower. Take that baby out to the drag strip because of how aerodynamic it is.
How did we get on this topic?
I don't know. We were talking about your giveaway.
Still doesn't make sense.
But
we digress.
So, Steve, someone came and picked this stuff up. Would you describe it as usable? Because if I remember right, this black plastic edging, it's got like two hooks, right? So that bottom hook goes into the dirt.
Yeah, what it does, it has a, like, it goes straight into the ground, but then it has like a little kick up on the bottom of it, which is designed so it keeps it in the ground, so it doesn't pull up out of the ground easily.
Yeah. You're not carving the sand out or the dirt out around it to save
this crap. I just pulled it out. Yes, I'm sure parts of it were, but I don't know. I don't like throwing stuff out that I think other people might be able to use. So this person obviously looked at it and said, "I could use that," and then they came and picked it up.
Ha ha! See, I could use it. I might be able to make a new floor. Now, if you had to
so it's
get...
gone.
Honestly, this is a little bit more expensive than I even thought. You can get 60 feet right now, Steve, at the big box store. 60 feet, which, if we're going to estimate, is about what you gave away.
Roughly, yeah.
What would you think, brand new? All wrapped up nice, beautiful.
$40.
$32.98.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I know it's plastic. It's not free to manufacture.
You want me to message the woman back and say, yeah, you owe me $33?
Ask her if you can get 10. I think you can get some back pay on this. Mm-hmm. But that is... No, I would say that's in your top 3 to 5 giveaways.
Yeah, because I need to come up with a Facebook / Craigslist giveaway wall of fame.
Can we get that next week? Can I get your top 3 favorite giveaways in terms of either crap you couldn't believe you got rid of or interactions related to it that you're like, whoa, I can't believe happened?
Wreck is the gold medalist.
So if I eliminate, you know, interactions with the people and just the wow factor of I can't believe I got rid of this crap, do you think next week you could give us a top 3 or top 5?
Yeah, but we may have... Yeah, I could do top 5 because I was... Like,
I'm sure we've talked about all of them.
We've probably talked about most of them on this episode alone, like the heavy hitters.
Yeah. I love it. Every time I see you do this, I wonder how much more crap can he dig up that he's going to give away?
I just can't stop. I can't stop doing it.
It's an addiction, man. It's an addiction. So if anybody's got a line on a 1999 Plymouth Prowler.
Plymouth Prowler.
Listen, I had checked on this, not ashamed to say it, not that far back.
So would you, like, you wouldn't...
No.
You wouldn't actually buy one, would you?
Not, I mean, listen, that would have to be retirement, not having people with you, because it's a legit two-seater.
So you wouldn't get it as a, like, as just your tooling around weekend car?
Well, I don't... Listen,
cruising through the neighborhood in this thing in like 2 feet of snow in the middle of February.
I know the people you're accustomed to working with. It's important for me to point out to you the tax bracket I'm in compared to them. So the old weekend tooling around car is definitely not in the cars.
Look, like I've had second vehicles from time to time.
Right.
But mine have been, you know, like a couple $1,000 Jeep that...
Yeah.
So if you could find a couple thousand... Say you had... If I found you a $5,000 99 Plymouth Prowler, mm-hmm, in decent shape, mm-hmm, drives fine, looks all right, maybe has like some scratches on the bumper or, you know, a couple of door dings or whatever, $5,000, say it had 200,000 miles on it, mm-hmm, you'd be in.
It would be a discussion.
With?
My wife.
I'm surprised you'd keep her in the loop on that, and you wouldn't just come cruising down the boulevard.
Hey, babe. Want to hop in? No, I've got your son. There's nowhere for him to sit.
You got your convertible top down, the wind blowing through your knot hair.
Wind blowing through my hat.
All right, babe. See you later, then. I'm going cruising.
Sure hope no babes want to hop in.
Oh, man. Imagine if you had the V6, too. Oh.
So this Plymouth Prowler was produced for 5 years, Steve. 5 years, 1997.
I didn't even think it made it that long.
I didn't realize it was 97 to 02. If you had to guess the grand total production, all 5 years, so this is as many that were manufactured and sold in a 5-year span. What would you guess? And let me tell you, whatever you're thinking...
It's too high. Oh, boy. I would have thought that would...
5 years.
I mean, it's not surprising that the numbers were low, just looking at it. Like, that thing, you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And even if you love it, you're probably not going to buy it.
Right, because it's simply impractical.
Yeah. 50,000?
Well, Steve, let me start you off by saying how many they produced in its opening year, 1997.
Oh, I bet it was low. I bet it was probably like 5,000 of them.
Produced in 1997. 457.
Okay. But again, not out of the ordinary for a...
Really?
For a brand new, like...
Okay.
I mean, that thing's basically a concept car.
So are they making those to order? Like, they're not building it until buys it at the dealership?
Maybe. I don't know.
Otherwise, you got all these going out of business Plymouth dealerships with 14 Prowlers on the lot. Grand total, Steve, in the 5 years, and it did switch to Chrysler in 01 and 02 because Plymouth, RIP, died in 2001. 11,702.
Okay.
So the pool that I'm working from is very, very limited.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the website where I bought the murder Jeep from.
Oh, maybe see if that got
see
a...
See if we can find a busted up prowler for
man,
you.
Man, one family's untimely death is Kyle's gain.
There is one Plymouth Prowler.
Okay, give me a year. Give me, you know, some details.
Oh boy, it's perfect. It's a 99.
Yeah, what color?
It's like plum.
Yeah, I like the purple. That purple metallic's a nice look.
Oh boy. All right, let's see. The primary damage, it's listed as all over. Secondary damage.
That can be...
undercarriage.
Okay.
And where is this vehicle... Oh, okay, so it's a Canadian vehicle. It's up in Ontario.
Oh, they can ship her down. I'm not going up there. Well, one, we can't. We're not welcome.
Yep, true. Hold on, let me calculate some shipping for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that customs will... Okay, we are not available to deliver. That's all right, though. We're going to figure it out. We're going to...
Well, what? No, no, Steve, you're looking at the
look
car.
Look at that beaut.
Whoa! That's in bad shape. But hey.
Oh, she's looking at the passenger side. I mean, I'm no car expert, but I've worked on one a time or two. Typically, the wheel goes up and down, not side to side.
Well, at least that's coming with the car. You know, at least they ship that separate?
Yeah, I'm sure they just throw it in the passenger seat. But look at the back of that thing. Looks beautiful.
So now, let's a tiny price tag
okay,
to I'll, rebuild the disaster.
See. Every airbag blown.
Do you think 20,000 is a fair number to rebuild it?
Including price of the vehicle? Because right now
no,
it is...
extra.
Right now it is at $7,300 Canadian.
I don't know how the hell that converts.
Oh boy, this is your issue here. This is your issue. This thing got hit hard on the driver's side.
Yeah, I'm not on board anymore. Because I think...
We could do this, man. We could rebuild this.
I don't have $20,000 to put into rebuilding
the Plymouth
Prowler.
I bet that on top of the $7,300, I bet by the time you get it here, it's going to be $10,000. I bet for $20,000 all in, that thing could be roadworthy.
$20,000 all in. Now, granted, I'll never be able to sell it, as we know, based on your experience trying to sell a... disaster vehicle.
Well, I mean, why would you want to? It's your favorite vehicle ever.
48 weeks, son. I could buy one in perfectly fine shape for 35.
Yeah, but this is 20.
Oh, done. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, that's where we are. How much?
12,000 miles. $27,900.
No, I
don't have to do the work. I don't have to ship it.
I can get you behind the wheel of this one for half that.
And I would bet they'd sell me that for $25,000.
I bet that parts are a little difficult to find for the Prowler since it was only made for like 15 minutes. this is your Comanche.
They built this thing about as long as it takes to do a soft serve cone at the self machine. Boom, boom. And that was
this
it.
This is your...
got one for 28, 29. I can get this car in the 20s, Steve. And I can get this car in the 20s here. Now, granted, it's still much more than the car I currently
drive. I think you need to...
Oh, this thing is gorgeous.
You need to go out of your comfort zone a bit. You need to, like, I mean, finally your dream will come true where we can rebuild a car together.
That is something I've definitely, dreamed about. Rebuilding the car. Nothing sounds more rewarding. Look at this thing, though. Look at that. Look at that pretty girl.
She's a beaut, Clark.
Gorge. This seems like a place. I've never heard of this place, either of you, but look at like the backdrop of this place.
Look at how American they are.
But what, look at all the cars. Isn't that a place you'd like to go? They just stroll around and touch the cars. Go, like Jimmy Allen? Yeah. I feel like if I got you here in this building,
I'd buy a Prowler.
You would walk around. Like you'd puff your chest out. You would become Tim the Toolman.
I'd become the caricature that you assume that I am already.
No question. No question. You'd have to switch out your hat to like some greasy Mopar hat.
Yeah.
To show that you fit in.
Oh, I got a Firestone hat upstairs. That'd be perfect.
This place actually looks kind of cool. You can go 1915 Model T. There.
I believe that's no interest in that. I don't have any interest in those whatsoever.
You're not interested in the old car? Nope. Really?
I mean, they're like, I look at them and I think, oh, that's cool. But, zero interest in ever, like, driving one or owning one.
You wouldn't even, just for a spin around the block.
I'd take it for a spin around the block. But
this thing looks pretty neat.
Yeah.
$10,900. I mean, I'm sure it's fully rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
Man, 18 miles per gallon, you have to use 60 octane.
Where do you get that?
Would you have to do it yourself?
Do I have to drill a well?
I was just saying, do you just get the octane down by diluting 87 with gas with water?
Sure.
Yeah. Throw her in there and you're cooking.
All right, so we are keeping an eye on this. Oh, this thing is up for auction tomorrow. Tomorrow 1 p.m.
So it hasn't even started bidding.
The auction? No, you can with this site you can pre-bid, which is stupid because that just runs the price up before the auction actually starts.
Yeah.
But when it hits the auction block, it'll only be on the auction block as long as people are bidding on it in real time.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, keep your eye on that for me. It's definitely something.
Did we figure out? Wait a minute. What's 7,300 Canadian?
Yeah, no, let me do that real quick. 7,300 Canadian dollars. Canada dollars, all right.
Looks like, oh, look at that.
Hey, saving a buck.
5,500 US.
We might be able to get that to me for $7,000.
Well, I don't know what the deal is with customs and
right
border. I say we just drive over there.
We can't.
Strap that wheel on.
I'll hold the wheel in the passenger seat and we'll drag the tripod across the border.
We'll just have to lean to the right.
What would you do though if we get that thing here and Annette's like, hey, it's a cool car.
I wonder if Annette would like the Plymouth Prowler.
I'll send it to her. Get back to us by the end of the episode because, Steve, we've got time to filibuster because it is time and it is my week to give everybody here a Kenny Rogers Fact of the Week.
It's time for
Kenny Rogers Fact of the Week.
You've got to know when to hold 'em. Fact of the Week.
Know when to fold 'em.
Fact on.
Well, I still can't believe you like the Plymouth Prowler.
It's a beautiful car. It's a hot rod, man. Like a modern-day hot rod.
Oh, you probably like the Chevy, what is it, like the HHR, too?
Oh, good God, no, that box? That thing looks terrible.
No, it's the... Oh, no, not that. The... All right, never mind.
Okay, I'll continue.
Chevy...
See, we spend a lot of time here when we discuss Kenny Rogers, as we do every week now, talking about the multi-talented and the other abilities that Krog had. Okay?
Krog, yes. Right. K-Rog.
And we don't need to run him down because we do every week. The tennis player, photographer, home designer, chicken entrepreneur.
Funny car chassis builder.
Funny car chassis builder. He's just in there welding away. You think Kenny Rogers ever once actually touched like tools to help build a funny car chassis?
He seems like the kind of person who doesn't lend his name to just anything unless he's all in.
I disagree.
I bet he was there frying chicken.
I bet he stayed 30 feet back and every time somebody started welding, he goes, ooh. I just feel like Kenny wasn't getting near open flame or sparks in a garage. And like,
I don't know.
Anytime he touched something,
look, would it surprise me if he did? Yeah. No, of course not. The man, he's a Renaissance man. He does everything.
Well, Steve.
Oh, by the way, I figured out what truck I was.
Yeah.
I looked it up by Googling Chevy truck thing from the early 2000s.
Oh, that's exactly what you need.
And I was able to return the Chevy SSR.
Oh, woof. That's one of the grossest things I've ever seen. Is that a truck? Or is that a car?
It's a truck, but it looks like it has the front end from, like, you know, a Ford Taurus.
Why is the back end so high?
I don't know.
Like, make your mind up.
So
truck.
You're so no to this?
Good all God, right. No.
All right, good. Good man.
Ugh. Well, Steve, I'm glad you got your notepad out.
I don't.
Because we have another one to add to the list today.
Oh, boy. What else did the man... What did he... Was like a professional hockey player, too?
The country singer teamed up. Someone named Mike Blakely.
Of course, the Blake.
To help write a novel.
What? He's a novelist as well?
About a talented musician caught in a dilemma. I feel like this blurb could use a little more detail.
Caught in a dilemma?
I don't know what. It doesn't specify.
So that's it?
The novel is called, Steve, What Are the Chances? Not only a singer, not only a photographer, uh-huh. Not only a... How are we describing his tennis playing?
He was like a...
Professional level amateur?
He could have been a professional tennis player, from what I remember.
I don't mean to disparage the living. But this feels like something Kenny would tell people.
By the way, Annette checks in. No thanks, pretty ugly to the Plymouth Prowler.
Everybody's got a few wrong opinions. Guess let's just add this to the list of hers.
It's Kyle's favorite car ever.
Yeah.
What a loser. I mean...
some real editorialization there on the end. I am looking to see if you can find this book. Yep, there it is. I'm not paying that price.
A barf emoji, she replies. Sorry, we got two things going on here at the same time.
You can get a hardcover of this right now on Amazon for $7.37.
What is it called?
What are the chances?
By Kenny
novel.
Rogers.
And it's got a big line on the top of the book. In Nashville, you play to win.
Wait, is this like a book version of The Gambler?
Maybe. But you know what? Reading this, I'm not too opposed to reading this. I kind of want to. It's 1975, and Ronnie Breed's chart-topping rock band has just self-destructed in a recording studio fistfight.
Mm.
Ronnie makes a bold decision. Return to Texas and reinvent himself as a solo act. Enter Ronnie's cousin, who recruits him for a new kind of venture. Wants to televise a Texas Hold'em tournament.
Oh, okay.
And Ronnie could never say no
uh-huh.
to his cousin.
So... Looking at the cover right here.
Yeah.
Real bummer for Mike Blakely. Like, it really put him in his place because Kenny Rogers is in the biggest font ever. Mike Blakely, maybe a third of the size.
That reminds me, and I want to double check because seeing that cover right there, I feel like I've seen that recently too. Okay, it's the same size font, but James Patterson is a big author.
Mm-hmm.
And he co-wrote a book with Bill Clinton last year.
Okay.
And Bill Clinton got top billing.
Of course. I mean...
But James Patterson has. Like, I would think that James Patterson is in the top 10 modern, like, most successful authors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
His series, I think he did the Alex Cross series. He's the most read author of our generation.
But he wasn't a president.
He was not a president.
So...
But, yeah, Bill Clinton... Getting the top billing. But yes, it's very similar to Kenny Rogers. So, I know it's early, folks, but it'll be here before you know it. If you're making a little list, check it twice someday, go ahead and add What Are the Chances by Kenny Rogers
and
Mike Blakely.
And Blake Blakely.
Blake. Be late. Be late.
Kenny Rogers.
Fact of the week.
You've got to know when to hold up. Fact of the week.
Know when to fold them.
Annette
checking in.
Oh, yeah.
Just a completely random conversation we're having.
Sure.
Not about anyone.
I mean, we're recording, so, I mean, if you could keep it on the up and up.
Big time loser.
What is happening right now?
I guess it makes sense with his love for comic books.
I'm sitting in the basement. What the hell is this, a roast?
It looks like the Batmobile or something.
Kind of does, now that you mention it. Now that you mention it.
Do you think that's what attracted you to the Plymouth Prowler?
Maybe. It's, I don't know. I loved it as a teenager, and that's definitely the car that I wanted. Steve, let me quickly update last week's polls. There's only two of them before we hit the road here today. Mm-hmm. First one, last week we discussed, do both crabs and lobsters scream? Well, because what is the... I thought it was lobsters that the people had said if they're alive, they scream.
I know for a fact that crabs do because I've heard it.
Really?
Yeah.
That make you still want to eat it? Mouth salivate a little more?
Not a big seafood person.
Yeah, I get the seafood out of my life, too. Yeah. No, thank you.
I'll take a good... take some sushi, though. I like sushi.
Non-cooked seafood? Yeah, that's great.
Well, a lot of it's not even seafood.
Right.
Like a lot of it's imitation crab meat. And
you know what? That's fair. I'll have popcorn shrimp.
What are you, 12?
70% of the audience, Steve, said yes.
By the way, I'm right on board. Popcorn shrimp's fantastic.
Isn't it fantastic? Popcorn anything is fantastic. Popcorn chicken?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a top three chicken. And if you need a reason to tune in next week, top three chickens.
We rank our chickens? I mean, grilled, fried, popcorn.
No, no. You got your breast. You got your wing. You got
okay, so you're going
But
like,
then
cuts.
You can even go further and like how you prefer it, like... You know, grilled breast, you know.
Fried. You know, all the ways.
All the ways you can cook chicken breasts.
Is this our most disjointed episode yet?
I don't know. I feel like we really hit our stride when we started talking 86 Pontiac 6000. And this one, Steve, I texted you again about this week because I feel like every now and again, maybe some of our audience needs a verbal lashing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Poll question, second one last week. Do they make boxing gloves for shark fins? Talking about, obviously, the Mike Tyson Great White Shark Rumble.
This has the potential for someone to be really serious.
Well, Twitter took it awful serious, Steve. Because on Twitter, 51% of the audience said no.
I hate you all.
What's going on here? You just voted on crabs and lobsters screaming. Okay? We're not even that far removed from do you pull the one-armed bandit or just hit the repeat button.
I think that has potential to be in the...
it's a dark horse in the tournament.
In the tournament.
No question it's a dark horse.
Yeah, again, next year's Field of 64 will be our best polls from the previous calendar year.
I actually had another idea that I want to pitch to you about the polls.
Off the air? Off the
I'll
cast.
I'll mention it to you off the air, but because I like this idea, but I have an alternative that might work. But thank goodness Facebook came through in the clutch. Not nearly enough, though. Mm. So they combined 55% of the audience, Steve, said yes, they do make boxing gloves for sharks.
Good.
And again, 45% of you, what are you here for?
Never in my life have I ever heard such an atrocity.
Sharks are endangered, I do declare. And you propose that they box?
What is happening? This is the dumb show we do here every week.
All of our polls should be 100% the most ridiculous answer.
Absolutely, that's what we're doing it for. For God's sake, we got people sending us Hawaiian Larry Ferrari albums. And then we've got a whole other section of the audience
saying...
By
the way, we need a turntable.
Yeah, we need it.
By next week. I bet we can get one on Marketplace.
Big time podcasts have sponsorship from... I forget what the company's called. They do like modern record players.
No, I don't want a modern one. I want the oldest, crappiest one. I want one of the ones with the big horns on it.
I don't necessarily want the oldest, crappiest one. I want the cheapest one.
Yeah.
Because
so if you're out there.
Listen, I'll say it. And I've said this, and I didn't get to it this week, but next week, I'm going to have to give an update on my Twitter hot takes. The fans were ablaze this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
They were very upset with me. So we'll get to that next week, right after we rank our chickens.
And my five.
And your five favorite giveaways on Facebook Market. That's a big week for us.
That is a big reason to tune in.
We want the oldest, crappiest record player. So, I mean, because they're all an eyesore.
Ideally, if you're in the West Michigan area, we'll stop by and pick it up.
Yeah.
But to those of you that are not in the West Michigan area, don't be afraid to spend a few bucks and send that thing to us.
Super cheap to send a turntable across the country.
Yeah. I want one with a built-in speaker of some kind. I don't want to have to hook it up to my hi-fi. So,
Yeah, listen, so we need a modern one, or a modern usable one, but old looking, because it's got to be crappy and cheap, so we can listen to Larry Ferrari in Hawaii.
Wait, this is a lot of
directions.
A lot of very specific characteristics that this thing needs.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, lots of polls up this week. Facebook, Twitter, at Stephen Kyle. Also, Instagram, at Stephen Kyle. We need to come up with a way. Keep an eye on our social media over the next week. We're going to be giving away copies. I think we have five copies that we're going to be giving away of The King of Staten Island, our big, huge giveaway we talked about last week. So stay tuned for that. Chance to win a copy of that coming up soon. Is that it? Anything else?
I think that's it. Yeah. We'll big week next week. Make sure you're tuned in.
Talk to you next week.
Technology helps keep everyone comfortable with a smart thermostat.
Turn temperature down.
Temperature down.
Turn temperature up.
Temperature up.
But to keep everyone on your team working comfortably, you need more than technology. You need CDW to custom configure Dell Client Solutions devices. Adaptive AI-based software creates a personalized user experience and boosts collaboration so they can stay cool and collected.
Temperature down.
Temperature up.
I'm staying out of this.
Dell Client Solutions make adaptive performance possible. CDW makes it powerful. Learn more at cdw.com/dellclient.
At the Michigan Chamber, we're on a mission to help job providers succeed. When business can grow and thrive, so do our families, communities, and economy. We protect, connect, and strengthen. That means effective advocacy and key updates from our top-ranked lobbying team, virtual and in-person events for connections and professional development, and proven products and services to help you save time and money. We're stronger together.
For a free 60-day trial of our newsletter, visit michamber.com/news.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.